Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Smartest Guy in the Room. Hope you're having a great church day, or as I like to call it, a couch day. Jerry Dempsey here, along with Matthew Smith. Matt, Otis, what's up?
A church day?
Yeah, I know a lot of people that go to church.
They go to church all day, though?
I don't know. Some people make a day of it. Did you, back in the day, like, we would go to church, and then a couple things would either happen. Three things. One, we'd go get donuts, which was always good. Two, we'd go to McDonald's, which was even better sometimes. Or three, we'd go downstairs in the cafeteria at the Queen of H and have some kind of weird breakfast.
I remember that. They would have donuts. They would have donuts for everybody and cider, apple juice. Our tradition, and let me tell you a real quick story, because this plays into my moving back to Buffalo after 33 years. We always would go to church, and then after church, we'd go to Eileen's Bakery on Center Road in West Seneca, and my mom would get a cherry cheese Danish pastry cake. And I'm telling you, man, the thing I miss most when it comes to food about Buffalo, when I wasn't living in Buffalo, people miss the chicken wings or the pizza or the beef on whack. I missed this cherry cheese Danish pastry cake. I mean, so much so that I used to dream about it. Wow. And when I moved back here, I was dying to get my hands on one of these suckers. And, I live probably about 20 minutes from that bakery. And right before I moved back, I actually read in the paper that someone drove their car through the bakery. And I was like, fuck, I'm moving back to Buffalo. Now someone drove their car through this bakery. I'll never get this pastry that I've been dreaming about for 33 years. But they fixed the bakery. And I went out. I drove one Sunday morning. Took me about 25 minutes to get to this bakery. And I was like, Sunday morning, just like the old days, I'm going to get this bakery. I've been dreaming about this pastry all week. My mouth was watering. I get there, and they're closed on Sundays now. And I was the only one in the parking
lot. That's wrong.
I was the only one in the parking lot. I'm not lying to you. I was almost moved to tears. I almost started crying. So the next week, I went back, and I went back on Saturday. And I told my wife, I'm like, I'm getting this pastry. You're not getting a single piece of this thing. I'm going to eat the whole fucking thing. And I drove out there. I told the woman, the bakery was packed. It was like 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday. It was packed. I waited in line. I told the woman my story about how when I grew up, my mom would always take me here after church, how I dreamed about it for 33 years. This woman not only found me the largest cherry cheese pastry cake in the bakery that day, she boxed it and gave it to me for free.
It's unbelievable.
And I went home, and I think I ate the whole thing in 2 days. And I didn't share it. And it was one of the reasons I've gained 12 pounds as I moved back to Buffalo.
Only 12? I mean, come on. I've
actually lost it all. So, but yeah, I just,
That's awesome.
That's my Sunday story.
That's a good one. Eileen's Bakery in Buffalo is it's one of those hidden gems, I guess you'd call it, right?
Really is a hidden gem.
Well, yeah, because I was trying back in the day when we couldn't get Salins hot dogs down here in the South. We have a Wegmans now, so I can get all that stuff. But I'd get care packages from my mom and stuff with the Weber's mustard and some other things. And I remember going to this website about Buffalo things you could order on the internet and get it shipped. And all over it was this Paula's Donuts. And I lived in Buffalo for 27 years, I guess. And I never heard of Pavlov's Donuts. I'd never eaten there. And quite frankly, I was perturbed. But now that I've gone home and I've eaten at Pavlov's Donuts, they put one at the Southgate Plaza, I think. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, no, it's there.
But, you know, it just seems over the top. And it adds to the, it's no wonder people are gigantically fat in Buffalo.
They really are. I think it's over the top donuts. I think it has the highest rate of heart disease in the country. But Buffalo has a lot. Buffalo has a hell of a lot of problems, but food is not one of them. Or, I mean, you could say food maybe is a problem since it's killing everybody here, but the food is so good. And
what I hate about here,
you eat one of those Paula's donuts, like you really don't need food for the rest of the day. They're like they're like eating a tractor tire.
Yeah, we went there and I ate one and my stomach hurt from all the sugar. I mean, it was like a hurricane of goodness / badness. You know what I mean?
My daughter wants them to cater her wedding.
That's which a good I'm all idea. For.
So
yeah, I mean, why not? I'd eat it. Forgot what I was gonna say, but
you were talking about your Sunday. Are you rudderless today?
Well, yeah, my wife's in Florida with my daughter. My daughter has been harping on us to swim with dolphins. Ties into our theme. I really planned it this way, but like there we have a picture of my son that we took when he was about 4 or 5 swimming with dolphins at some resort we were in, and ever since my daughter could talk, she like obsesses on that picture. And she's like, when do I get to swim with the dolphins? So finally my wife tried to plan a quick little trip down to Florida so we go swim with the dolphins. And then my son got on cross country and that blew up, you know, the plan, so to speak, until him and I just decided to stay home. And they're down there now. And, you know, I'm getting all the pictures and actually feeling pretty envious right now of that. But
it's nice, though, a mother daughter trip to go swim with the dolphins.
Oh, my daughter wants to, you know, the Oedipus complex has nothing on my daughter. Like, I think my daughter would love it if I just disappeared and then she could just hang out with my wife all the time.
Can't you swim with the dolphins, though, in North Carolina? I mean, I remember going on a trip after we graduated high school with some of the gang, and we swam with dolphins in Virginia Beach at, like, 4 a.m.
Is that like from The Simpsons when Lenny's like, night swimming and alcohol? And then the dolphins kill him?
There was shit involved. Yeah, definitely was some shit involved that night. But I find it funny that people who live down south still go to Florida for a vacation.
I mean, Florida is just, it's the gift that keeps on giving in so many ways.
So many ironic ways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, you know, it goes around the internet, but like you're supposed to Google Florida man and then your birthday. And then whatever Florida man did on your birthday is like your thing.
Florida is to America what Australia was once to England.
Is that right? That's interesting.
I think Florida is the nation's penal colony.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. But I know one of my bucket list items isn't getting scratched off the list this weekend because I wanted to ride in an airboat and like chase after alligators or whatever you do when you're in an airboat. I just imagine drinking whiskey out of like one of those old style jugs that has X's all over it, maybe a skull.
X's. Three X's. That's how people down south spell alcohol.
But so let's get into our topic for today. And
which our discussion kind of plays into. Swimming with dolphins,
it's like a warm up.
In airboats.
But it's interesting, you know, the topic is daredevils or adrenaline junkies, folks. And what is it that propels folks like that? You know, not just, I mean, to take a step back, I remember being a kid, and I'm sure you do too, Matt, but like when Evel Knievel, right, in the 70s was jumping buses and jumping the Grand Canyon or Snake River Canyon, like we all went out and got our Huffy Thunder Road or whatever. And, you know, we all had the little Evel dolls. I in fact, have one still. I bought it for my kid.
Wait, but, I mean, you still have a Evel Knievel doll?
Oh, yeah, with the wind-up thing.
Is it original? Or I mean, I bought it on eBay. Oh,
like,
you bought it on eBay?
When my kid was little. No, because I was watching cartoons with him, and one of those retro commercials came up with the Evel Knievel thing, and then the Smash Up Derby. Remember those things?
Yeah.
And he was like, Dad, I would love one of those. And I went to eBay and it was like $50. So I bought it.
You know, the toys nowadays really don't have that feel that the toys from our generation did. I broke all of my toys. Like, and I had a lot. I just broke everything. We had a mutual friend growing up who, like, he had saved all his toys. And that shit's probably worth a lot of money today.
I couldn't imagine. We would destroy everything, similar to you. There was a vacant lot near our house, and we would build models just to take them there and blow them up and burn them.
Yeah. There's nothing like burning plastic.
I just remember, in fact, there's a kid that you grew up with. He lived near the creek, and him and I built some boat models, and then we put them in the creek with firecrackers on them, and they blew up floating down that Seneca Creek there. and you know, it's the thing about adrenaline. It's like once you do something, like let's say you get a firecracker and you blow up a car model, then you need to pour gasoline on it and then put like three, you know, firecrackers in it. And then the next time, maybe you get your hands on an M80 and you blow up your neighbor's mailbox. I mean, it's just like it just keeps, you have to keep raising the bar on these things to make it more interesting. You know?
Well, the reason for that, because I was doing some reading on this, and it's chemical based. It has to do with dopamine, and it, when you do these activities that inject in you a adrenaline rush, and this becomes almost an addiction, almost like a drug addiction on those people who are thrill seekers.
Yeah.
And what it does is it raises your level of dopamine and it lowers your level of, I can't pronounce the chemical, but it's basically the opposite of dopamine.
Serotonin.
So it really is like a drug high. And then you begin chasing that high the same way that like a heroin addict chases the dragon, which is the terminology they use, but like always in search of that fix. And I was reading too that people with lesser gray matter, which is kind of disturbing, but people with lesser gray matter in their brain have a tendency to chase after that thrill or that adrenaline rush more. And gray matter is what, like, you know, kind of controls your cognitive function and your motor skills. So the thought of someone having less gray matter is a little bit disturbing, but yeah, it's like, at the heart of it, I mean, people do it for different reasons, but at the very heart of it, there's a chemical, you know, makeup to all this.
I totally agree, and I have felt that in my life. I mean, for me, the getting away, I mean, it can lead you down many different paths, and a lot of them aren't good. But I remember, you know, when I started my life of crime, like stealing things from my neighbor's garage, like things I didn't even want or need or care about. You know, just to get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but it can, you know, to your point though, at some juncture, you either get caught or you just decide like, hey, this is stupid. I need to mature past this. You know, I mean, my life of crime lasted a couple of years, probably in my early teens. And, but I mean, I would steal money from the church basket just because it was funny to do, you know.
There's shit I can't even cop to on this show that I still in my soul and in my heart and in my mind feel like I need to go to confession for some of this shit. And I don't even know if I could admit it in confession. So.
Well, like my dad said,
but I mean,
you don't get caught. You didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was all, I didn't need any of that shit that I stole. It was all, you know, a challenge. It was all, can I get away with this? And the thrill of doing it. But I wouldn't say, you know, I mean, there are people who are thrill seekers. And I would not say that I'm a thrill seeker at all. I wouldn't never cast myself off as someone who's a thrill seeker. And I don't necessarily chase that adrenaline high. But I've done a lot of things that people who are thrill seekers do. And for me, it was just wanting to maybe take on the experience or take on the challenge. But I'm not, you know, I would not call myself a thrill seeker.
No, I almost see myself as very risk averse. Even in my career, like I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, but I can't really say I have like an entrepreneur spirit, perhaps, but I can't point to anything in my life that goes, oh yeah, you know, I went balls out here and bet the farm on some business plan I created. I mean, I would never do that, even to this day. I've kicked around tires with people, but at the end of the fucking day, dude, I like a sure thing.
See, now, as I've gotten older, I still wouldn't call it a thrill-seeking, you know, mission or an adrenaline rush, but I'm more willing to take on those risks on a business end of things. You know, I mean, in terms of like maybe investments, not like going parachuting or something like that, but, you know, skydiving. But I would do a business venture at this point.
Well, again, it depends on the risk and what's to gain. You know, when I lived in New York, we used to have these meetings, these offsite meetings in Atlantic City every quarter. Atlantic City is so depressing if you've never been there, guys. And I don't mean the Trump properties, although the one Trump Marina looks like someone threw up on a building. It's one of the most awfulest things I've ever seen. But the whole town is pretty fucking depressing. And but the point of my story is I had a few friends at work that would gamble all fucking night and bet thousands of dollars. Yeah. I don't know how many. And they would lose it. You're almost guaranteed to lose, right? And I could never fathom that. Like, if I lost more than a couple hundred bucks, I would get so mad it wasn't fun. And I don't know if that's the frugal component of me that you can't rip out. But I mean, to go and spend 6 hours gambling and maybe lose 200-300 bucks, I could stomach. But losing 1,000, losing 5,000, fuck that, man.
Well,
that
to
would drive
begin,
me insane.
To begin with, too, a lot of like there's a casino like 2 minutes from my house. And every now and then we'll go there. But like we never we'll like take maybe $200 out of the bank and split it. My wife and I, like, you get 100, I'll get 100. And when that's gone, that's gone. We leave. And actually, what I do is I play like $20 at a time. And if I have a machine, most machines I lose all my money on. But if I have one machine where like I'll start winning, I'll put those winnings away in my pocket. And then I'll just play with the rest of the money that I have. So even when all of my money is used up, I'll cash in my winning ticket. So I leave with something, you know. So maybe I'll win like $37, you know, but I'll leave with $37, even though I will have lost 63. But yeah, some people will just sit down and they'll feed $500 into a machine to start with.
That's insane. That's insane.
And I never spend I'll never spend even more than an hour there. You know, it's just, it's usually like end of the night, have, you know, just throw in another thing to do before we go home, or, you know, just, it's just like we just do it on a lark. But there are people who are at that fucking place every single day for hours on end. And I don't get it.
Depending on what you're playing. Like, so oddly enough, the story from before where I took my son and he went swimming with the dolphins in the Caribbean, we were at a place that had gambling. And the one night I took like $1,000 and took a craps class in the day where they taught us how to play craps. And then I went back to the table at night, and it was probably, I only spent I actually won after all the ups and downs, but won like maybe a couple hundred, $300. But I'm going to tell you something. I was there for probably about 3 hours drinking, yucking it up with the people around me, rolling the dice. It was like a good fucking time. And people were, there were some huge gamblers betting tons of money. And then there's me just betting like the pass line or the you know, some of the easier bets. But I mean, it was a fucking blast. So I can almost see it from that angle. And I could definitely see it if money, you know, if you're fuck you rich, you know, dropping a few $1,000 or a lot more is like me and you gambling at the nickel slots. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's not like that because it's fun and people are into it. So I get like to your something you said earlier about like how being an adrenaline junkie is a form of addiction, or, you know, it triggers the same chemicals in your body as, you know, shooting heroin or being an alcoholic or whatever. But I mean, you know, I always try to think back to, well, how does this play into the limbic system or the fight to flight? So it must be, you know, like they say, the thrill of the hunt, right? Because if me and you got to go out and kill a fucking woolly mammoth, you know, I mean, we're probably starving to death, so we don't really think about the risk involved. We're like, well, if we don't catch him, we're going to die. But I mean, it's got to be pretty cool chasing down a woolly mammoth and then killing the fucker.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because as I was researching this topic, there were doctors who say this, the people who take thrill seeking to these higher and higher levels all the time, the whole thrill seeking and adrenaline rush junkie type stuff, actually there's something in our DNA, and some doctors believe it goes back to the prehistoric times where cavemen started hunting game and their hunts got larger and larger, and, you know, they were literally risking their lives, but it was producing, you know, endorphins and shit like that, where they began to take on larger and larger. They had this adrenaline rush. They probably weren't even recognizing it. But so there are some doctors who believe this is in our DNA.
It's got to be. I mean, why else would we take risks? You know, in my deep research that I did, I looked at some of the jobs, like the most dangerous jobs on the planet, and some of that jumped off the page at me. I mean, garbage man is in the top 10. Working for a power company, like a lineman, that's super dangerous. People get killed all the time. Being a roofer, I watched these dudes install a roof across the street from me about 2 weeks ago. There's these guys, they're no ropes. They're running around on that roof carrying shingles all over the fucking place.
I did that with my father, and I
awful.
I hate heights, but I used to be a roofer. I used to be a roofer, and what you know, my dad. One of my jobs was I was the one who carried the shingles, and we would. Some of these older homes in Buffalo are very, very high, and their roofs have crazy pitches.
And keep the snow off of them.
and you know I. It's funny. I don't think I would do that work now. I can't believe I did it then. And yeah, it's crazy. Why was Garbage Man so dangerous?
I didn't really read into why, but I mean,
I live two doors down in my old neighborhood in Albany from a garbage man. And, this guy had like, he had a college degree. Something happened though. I think he got laid off from a job, and he got a job working as a garbage man. And he told me, this guy had so many fucking toys, you know, like ATVs and you know, just a boats and shit like this. And it was all from being a garbage man. He said that, you know, he would talk to me about like all the fines he would have on his routes.
Yeah.
And you know, he told me that there was an adrenaline rush angle to his job. Like every day to him was like a treasure hunt. And you know, he couldn't wait to get to work every day because it was always about what he was going to find. So I don't know. I don't know about the danger aspect of it, but it sounded like there was an adrenaline rush side to being a garbage man.
I don't know. That's a good question. Cause when I go to the dump and talk to all my good friends, at the dump, they're all sitting around in lawn chairs talking shit with each other. Doesn't look that dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
Not like someone's going to rob them.
It's funny. Again, I don't consider myself a thrill seeker, but I've bungee jumped before. I once took part in a slalom race down a mountain on a mountain bike. Uh-huh. Now, like, I don't think mountain biking is necessarily a dangerous thrill seeking activity, but if you are not a mountain biker and you are in a slalom race down a mountain, that was dangerous and it was thrill. It was, and I did that
like at a ski resort, right?
Well, yeah, someone challenged me to, there was like some community event and some guy who didn't really like me challenged. He thought he was going to embarrass me.
Did he like have a white glove and slap you in the face with it?
Well, no, but he,
I challenge you.
he was an actual mountain biker and he challenged me to a slalom race down a mountain, mountain at a ski resort. Uh-huh. I kicked his ass and I'd never done it before.
And that's because you probably threw all caution to the wind just so you could beat him. Right.
Yeah. Like I caught on at the top of the mountain, like how to maneuver. Like I wasn't graceful at all, but I ended up.
Yeah. But all you have to do is go over the handlebars one time and you're dead. So, yeah.
And like the pitch that you're traveling down is such a scary thing. I whitewater rafted. The first time I ever went skiing, I picked it up really easy. Everyone always said like, if you can ice skate, you can ski. And I always thought that was bullshit because whenever someone tells you something is like something else, it never is.
Right.
But skiing, I picked it up immediately from ice skating. And I was at Whiteface, which has their top, I don't know what you call it. You're a skier, you know, but their top trail has the largest vertical drop in the east of 3,400 feet. And by the end of the day, I was doing that. You know, and again, probably wasn't graceful, but you know, I don't think I'm a thrill seeker, but I just always feel like I'm up to a challenge.
Yep.
But what I remember from those experiences are I didn't do it to seek out some thrill, but you do get a high when you're done with these things. And that high lasts for several hours. I could remember after bungee jumping, you know, my friend and I were so pumped. We didn't know what to do with the energy we felt. So we ended up going out and getting drunk as shit. And but what I guess the difference with me is, like, I didn't have the need to always up my last experience. You know, I could do something once and be, I'm fine with it. I don't need
Go, I'm with you on that. Cause I went skydiving. And like you just said, the rest of that afternoon, I was like, had a high that drinking or heroin has never produced for me. And it lasted for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, but like, I guess that's the line in the sand is you and I can like do these things once and our need is filled or whatever need we had going into it is filled. But there are people that just constantly need to up the ante, you know?
But to your point, there's a maturity, there's a control in our brains, you know, like I've read about, you know, people get dopamine hits from likes on Facebook, as pathetic as that sounds.
It is pathetic.
I've read that somewhere. I don't even know if it's true. But I mean, you know, if like you say something or you try to make a point on one of those social medias and some asshole will try to twist your words and throw it back in your face, you know how mad that fucking makes you, don't you?
I think some of that, though, is you feel like you're embarrassed because they're doing it in front of this make-believe community.
A bunch of people I'll never know are, you know, mocking me. But that it leads me to my next point, which is, do Karens get some kind of dopamine hit, you know, from, because they are they think that by, because again, I wouldn't walk up to you and fuck with you if I didn't know you. Okay. I mean, I would probably try to get away as quickly as possible because mostly I'm a chicken and I like, you know, the fight or flight response. Mine is usually flight, like, you know.
Right.
But the point is, they will go up to dangerous looking people and scream in their face. And what do they like? Do they get a charge out of it? Because, like, their next call is to the police, like, oh, I'm calling 911 on you. You know, because you double parked your car in Manhattan or you did something. I don't know. You know what I mean? You dared to park on the line in the parking lot. Someone yelled at me. Like, I pulled into a parking spot next to a car and I just lined my car up next to the car. But unfortunately, he wasn't lined up right. So now I was like on the line and I have a truck, which is a little on the big side. And some lady's like, oh, it must be nice just to park wherever the hell you want. And she screamed that at me. And I was just like, I looked at her, I got my truck and just drove away, like without even saying a word. I'm like, what a fucking psycho, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I could have kicked your ass.
I don't know if there's a thrill seeking element to that or an adrenaline rush, but you know, there is a risk.
Yeah, but what's the payoff for them is my question.
I don't know what the payoff is, but there's definitely a risk because you don't ever know who you're dealing with.
Well, look at the lady that attacked that poor guy in Central Park. I don't know if he was bird watching. I don't remember the whole story, but he was black and she was white. And she like yelled at him, called him a peeping Tom or something about his dog. I don't remember the whole story. But she like, you know, she must not have been that scared of him because she started like getting in his face.
Well, not being afraid is different than thrill seeking, but there definitely is. I would agree with you in a sense that Karens definitely have a lesser aversion to risk than other people.
You just see some of those people. And again, maybe it's the lack of gray matter, like you said initially. But it's like, if I'm going to do anything that puts me at risk, there's got to be a reward for me. I mean, that's just, again, that's how my brain works. Like, what's the payoff if I walk up to these guys? Oh, you'll like this story because it ties into it. So what, my son started high school for the first time last week, and he comes home from school. My wife's, you know, kind of overprotective as she should be. And so he comes home and we're like, how was the first day? And he's like, well, I did what Dad told me. And my wife's like, what was that? And he goes, I walked up to the biggest guy and punched him in the face.
That's what you do in prison.
That's what I said. I'm like, wait, no, that's what I told you what you do when you go to prison. Oh, I screwed up. He goes, but now everyone's afraid of me.
Well, you know, I think you go back to what you said about like likes on social media. Social media has definitely increased, I think, or appears to have increased the number of thrill seekers, because I keep reading about the number of people who have died trying to take the perfect selfie in dangerous places.
Yeah, I like that. Like
on the edge of cliffs and at the top, on top of buildings, and it just, I mean, there's a staggering number of people now. I was just reading this story a couple of weeks ago who have died just because the payoff to them was that perfect selfie.
That's just so disturbing on different levels. It would lead me to my next topic, which would just be the Darwin Awards, right? If people, you know, and folks, if you've been under a rock for the last bunch of years, Darwin Awards are given to people that do really stupid things and then get killed doing it. Like the guy recently who went into the water, and there's all these signs like alligators, don't go in the fucking water. People are yelling at this guy and he goes, I'm going swimming anyway. And then they show some alligator dragging his dead corpse around in the water and people taking pictures of it. See, getting a selfie with the dead body and the alligator, that I would fucking put on Facebook for sure.
I received a 1978 Darwin Award because, and I'll
honorable mention, you didn't die. So quite frankly, you didn't get an award.
I'll tell this story. This is one of the dumbest things I ever did. My sister was walking barefoot in our driveway, and we were putting an addition on the house. So there was all this construction debris in our driveway next to a dumpster that the construction crew had been using. So there was a piece of wood with a rusty nail hanging out of it, and my sister stepped on it, and she started, like, you know, freaking out and crying and shit like this. So me, being stupid, took the same board, put it down, laid it out on the driveway, and I said, stop being a pussy. That doesn't hurt. Watch. So I took my shoe off, and I, with bare feet, I stomped on the piece of wood. Holy with the shit. Nail hanging out. It went through my heel. And
Heel.
Now, I was like 8 years old. 9 years old. We both ended up in the hospital that day for tetanus shots.
I mean, honestly, I've known you a long time and I can think of a bunch of dumb things you've done. That's absolutely the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But that is the kind of thing you win a Darwin Award for.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you that one for sure.
maybe that early experience, you know, as dumb as it, as I was for doing that, maybe that curbed my appetite for thrill seeking, you know?
I mean, I could have got a Darwin Award the other week. Remember I told you I fucked up my garage door?
Yeah.
So what I did was there was these bolts at the bottom of the door that there's a metal wound sprung cable attached to. And because I wanted to adjust the door, I'm like, oh, I'll just take these bolts off. And they're all painted red. And there was a big sign that said, do not remove these. They're under pressure. And I removed them without reading any of that. And I was like, I wonder why they're red. But I never really bothered to think about it. This is just a few weeks ago. My son was right there. And there was four of them. By the time I got to the last one, the fucking cable snapped and the piece of metal that was tied to this cable that was under pressure by a spring went flying.
Yeah.
And when the guy came out, he's like, "Oh, who took this off?" And I'm like, "Me." And he goes, "You know, you could have killed yourself doing that, right?"
Yeah, you could have killed her. The tension on those things.
Yeah.
I mean,
it went flying.
Yeah, when they snap, the projectiles that they send flying they're moving at a good rate.
Yep.
It's like shrapnel through.
Could have lost a finger. And I mean, my son was right there, so I kind of put him in danger too. So yay! That's why me and physical labor, you know, shouldn't be hanging out.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we killed this puppy.
I mean, I think it's a good topic because at the end of the day, it's you know, there's a lot of shit we don't know about what goes on in our brains and our bodies, right? And I think it's interesting because, like, again, when we're little kids and we saw a movie like Hooper, who didn't want to be Burt Reynolds in that, after that, right?
I actually, you know, it's funny you bring that up. After I saw that movie, well, two things stuck out in my mind. One was when that naked lady came out of the box and she had boobs that went down to her waist.
That was great.
That changed my life. But I went on this like 3 or 4 week kick where I started, you know, playing stuntman. I wanted to be a stuntman, like just like Hooper.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
it's all good, buddy. We're still alive, and that is amazing.
I never did become a stuntman.
But you've pulled some stunts, haven't you?
I have. Just like Karen's.
I aspire to be a Karen. I just want to talk to someone's manager.
All right, man.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Stay free.
Bye.